Hello, everyone. This is Tanya Gabrielle, and this is our Future Forecast Formula August 2014 support call. And it is a very, very big time for us practitioners. We are about to enter Virgo, and we have a Virgo new moon coming up on the 25th of August. And anytime we're in Virgo, the sixth house gets activated because Virgo naturally rules that house. So it's an important time for those of us who serve others, because the sixth house is the house of service, and it does rule our daily work environment and our health. So what's interesting about this new moon, which happens on the 25th of August, is that there's an opposition from Neptune at 6 degrees. So that number 6 is activated in many ways. And, of course, in numerology, 6 does govern responsibility and, you know, nurturing others and being the counselor, the advisor. So it is a very big time for us to really focus on our business in terms of nurturing others and being the healer practitioner and the person who imparts wisdom that ends up uplifting and supporting our clients. So what makes this new moon even more interesting is that it occurs at 2 degrees. The sun and moon are both at 2 degrees in Virgo. And 2 is the one-on-one relationship number, right? So you and your client, you and your student, talking one-on-one to each other. So I really want to stress that you can establish some very deep and powerful relationships right now with your clients. And so creating good newsletters, creating good blog posts, having a way to communicate with your prospects and clients is really important during a time like this, when the numerology is just set up perfectly to practice what it is you have to offer. And so now the other thing that's wonderful about this setup is that it occurs on the 25th, and I discussed this yesterday in the Numerology Academy practitioner call. So 25th, of course, is 7, and we have a very strong 7 all year long. And that 7 is continued for the full moon that happens 2 weeks after, on the 9th of September, which happens at 16 degrees, which is a 7, and that date, 9-9-2014, is a 25-7. So it activates the 25th of August, that 25-7 as well. So there's going to be a two-week, very profound cycle of spirituality. Neptune is obviously triggering and kicking off the whole event by lying opposite the new moon on the 25th. Neptune is a very deeply spiritual planet. And so there's going to be a lot for us to look at regarding our ideals, our ideal work relationship, our ideal relationship to just life in general, what it is that we want to create. Neptune is highly creative, and it is very much connected to the spirituality that we feel as creator beings on a very, very deep level. So paying attention to your intuition and your dreams. Dreams can feel very, very powerful during a time like this. In fact, what you want to watch for and let your clients also be aware of is that your reality sometimes can feel very dreamlike during a time like this. So making the delineation between what is actually real and what is not is important, so that illusions don't become real and you don't think that what's actually not happening is something that, you know, you're projecting. Right, so you want something so badly that the illusion in your mind becomes reality. So that's something to watch out for as well, because, you know, we need to balance obviously our dream world with our world of duty, which is what Virgo represents. So the whole thing here is about balancing your intuition, your spirituality, with the duties you have to live a life on Earth, earn an income, be present in your relationships. And so that balance is, again, represented by the 2-degree marker for the sun and moon on the new moon, right? So they're at 2 degrees on August 25th, which is the number of balance. Now, one thing I do want to also point out here is that Mars and Saturn are conjunct at 17 degrees in Scorpio during this new moon. This is the August 25th new moon I'm talking about. That's a really, really big conjunction. 17 degrees obviously is the immortality number, so it's a number of strength, and it will leave a long impression because of that. And when Mars and Saturn conjunct like this, there's just a lot of energy, and the energy is focused on your commitment. So there's going to be a surge of you feeling determined to get things done, and, you know, where Mars provides the energetic source, the virility to give you that real sense of action and wanting to go out there and implement. And then Saturn tempers everything by making it really, feel like it's important. It is without you moving through this, you will not move forward because you have to take responsibility. You have to be serious about it. Saturn brings an element of work. And remember, we are in Virgo during this time. So work is natural. The sixth house of work is activated anyway. And so there is going to be, there could be moments in your life where you may feel like, okay, there's a challenge here that I need to get through that might be a bit frustrating or irritating. Because, and the reason I bring this up is when Mars and Saturn come together, there can be an irritable side. You can feel, if there's any kind of pent-up anger that you have inside, it will come out because you'll be fueled by this conjunction in a big way. Remember, it's at 17, 8 degrees. This is a very powerful number. So you want to just try to really focus on breathing and not reacting to people or situations when they come up. What I really recommend when Saturn is involved is you have a gift there. Saturn always wants you to do things one step at a time, take one responsibility at a time, and do not focus on anything except that one thing. And if you can do that and you can concentrate your energy on doing one responsibility at once, one task at once, then it'll be much easier to move through this energy. Okay, so you'll also want to, because you have an extra source of tremendous activation and vitality with Mars, you'll want to really make sure you exercise during this time. So, you know, what can happen is when we get to especially sensitive healer types, when we get so much energy coursing through, if we don't get up and move and let that energy dissipate and move through us, we bring it to our life, and we bring it to even our clients, and that's not a good thing, right? So you want to make sure that you can release it somehow. Now, one more thing I want to bring up is that, as you know, Venus just entered Leo very recently, and yesterday was conjunct Jupiter, a beautiful moment. Now, what's happening right during this new moon is that the Mars-Saturn conjunction is forming a square to Venus. Venus is at 16 degrees, and Mars and Saturn are at 17 degrees. So there's a very strong square being formed. So when this happens, especially between Mars and Venus, there's relationship issues that we'll need looking at. And when Saturn's involved, then that certainly can mean something that you need to evaluate. There's something that can come up in your intimate relationships, your one-on-one relationships that are very close, that need attention that, like a magnifying glass gives. You know, that's what Saturn wants you to do. So looking at love, sexuality, anything to do with your profound creative urges, those will have a real strong, more serious aspect to them during this time. Saturn always makes things more serious. So, you know, whatever it is that comes up for you, and obviously it can also be health-related because of the Virgo influence that we're feeling during the Virgo new moon, right? So that's sixth house stuff, service, work, and health. So just be aware of those things that, you know, this is not something to, you know, scare anyone at all. It is just to help us be aligned so that when we do notice anything in our life, we realize, okay, yep, I have to attend to this. This is important. I can't ignore it because Saturn won't let me. Saturn will not let anything be ignored when it's influencing your life. So it's just a heads up, okay? And then, so I want you all to also look, since we're in future forecast formula here with this call, I want you to look, well, where is that conjunction taking place, that Mars and Saturn 17-degree Scorpio conjunction? Where is that in my birth chart? You want to do that. You also want to look at where the new moon's taking place, and which is at 2 degrees Virgo, and the opposition of Neptune at 6 degrees Pisces. Where are those in your chart? And finally, you want to see, well, where, you know, in Leo, which is where this conjunction just happened yesterday, where is Venus going to be? Because Venus forms that square to the Saturn, to the Mars-Saturn conjunction. So those are things to look for regarding the new moon, the Virgo new moon. I'll briefly touch upon the Pisces full moon as well. That's on the 9th of September. Again, it's at 16 degrees. This is a very, very beautiful, beautiful full moon. It forms two incredible fortunate triangles. They're just absolutely beautiful. So if you go cast a chart for September 9th, 2:39 a.m. Greenwich Mean Time, you will see the moon forming a trine to Saturn, and Saturn and the moon forming a sextile to Pluto. It's a pretty wide sextile. It's 7 degrees and 5 degrees, but it still forms this amazing, amazing triad there, which I absolutely love. And then the Sun does exactly the same thing. The Sun forms a trine to Pluto, and then Pluto and the Sun form two sextiles to Saturn. So there's a double triangular, hugely creative energy that's going on during this full moon on the 9th of September. So you'll want to find where that's taking place in your chart, and just really look at those numbers, the number 16, which is obviously about tremendous transformation and sudden shifts, right? That's the Sun and Moon there for the full moon at 16 degrees. And then we have Pluto at 11 degrees. One thing I'll tell you about Pluto, just real briefly, is that it's moving forward again on the 22nd of September at 11 degrees. So Pluto's been retrograde for a while, and on September 22nd, it does move direct again. So during this full moon, it's still retrograde at 11 degrees, but it is definitely slowing down. So it's whenever a slow-moving planet like Pluto is about to move from retrograde to direct or vice versa, it really has an intensification effect on all of us, and that's actually happening during this full moon at 11 degrees. Now, 11 is a number you're very familiar with. It's a master number. It's a gateway number. So there's definitely a lot of transition and transformation happening with this movement, change of direction with Pluto. It also happens, as it turns out, literally on the fall spring equinox, which is also September 22nd. That's when the Sun enters Libra. So the 22 master number and the 11 master number are joining on that day in a very profound way. So if you have those numbers in your chart, you will feel this pretty strongly here. Pluto is definitely about the subconscious and about empowerment. The equinox is about balance. Libra is about balance. And so it's really about balancing your urges, your desires, and it happens also right before the Libra new moon on the 23rd, 24th of September. So there's a really a lot of energy and intensity and tremendous opportunity around this time because of the sacred geometry I was telling you about before with this full moon. So that happens on the 9th. So it's like a culmination. So we have 2 weeks of the Saturn-Mars influence, and then we have 2 weeks of this very creative influence from the 9th onwards until the equinox and new moon 22nd, 23rd, 24th of September. So that is a look at how to, apply the forecasting to yourself and your clients. I want to open the call now to questions. So press star 6 if you want to get on with me and ask anything regarding what I just spoke about in relation to you or any other questions you have. We also have a couple of emails that came in this morning, so I will look at those. Let me see here. We have Andrea. Andrea, you asked about, you said that after the call yesterday, you got a new client and that she's from Russia and that her birth certificate name is in Cyrillic. So you want to know how to calculate her destiny, soul, and personality. Well, obviously, the alphabet that we use is the Western alphabet, and so we don't use the Cyrillic for numerology purposes. So what I use is the name that the client has chosen for him or herself. So in your case, you give her spelling of her last name. And if this is the name she's using on documents, and obviously she's living using the Western spelling in some regards when she is corresponding with or having any kind of relationship with anything to do with the Western world, right? So she has a version of her name that translates to the Pythagorean system that we use. And that's the name that you would use. That's what you would use as her destiny number. So the reason that this works is because the client itself makes a decision on how to translate the Cyrillic alphabet. And that decision is definitely something that's driven by their subconscious. So the soul is speaking through them and saying, okay, this is how you want to spell your name when it comes to the Western alphabet. So use that. Obviously, you also have her birthday, which is a great help. But in terms of destiny number, you would use it in the way that you sent it to me, okay? So I hope that answers your question. If not, please get on, press star 6. We can continue with that. And then we have a question from Jen. Let's see. Jen asks, I would like to know what the new moon on the 25th and full moon, which I'm assuming you mean the full moon on the 9th of September, are forecasting for my chart. I have a 7 birthday and a 16-7 degree sun, and would appreciate any insight you have about what to focus on. I'm in a 19-10-1 year. Well, obviously for you, Jen, this is a really, really big moment. Everything's going to be more intensified and magnified for you, definitely on a deep spiritual level. I mean, with a 16-7 degree sun, a 7 birth day of birth, with it being on the full moon being at 16 degrees and the universal day 25-7 and the Virgo new moon being on August 25th, which is also 7, there's just a lot of 7 energy around this. You know, it's one of the big numbers that we're dealing with, especially the fact that it's connected to both the full and new moon events, right? So, you know, for you, with being in a 1 year, there's just a lot of learning going on. 7 is about acquiring new wisdom, and you are on a learning curve. You're changing things up. You're picking up new ways of, you know, running your life, running your business, working with astronumerology. You are, in general, just feeling a brand new way of approaching what you're doing in life. I mean, your one personal year started in May, so there's just a feeling of a rebirth going on, and this will just intensify that in a big way. I mean, remember that September for you will be another one activation, so you'll be in a 1 year, a 1 month with the sevens going on. So yeah, it's a big moment for you. You also ask me a question about your wealth code. You say I have sevens and eights that show up, and you're wondering if the third number would be a 10. Well, your wealth code is also related to your numerology blueprint, right? It's not just for astrology. I see your 8 ascendant. I see your 10 midheaven. I would want to see those repeated for it to be part of your wealth code. So the 10 is repeated in Jupiter 28-10-1. The 8 is repeated in... Is it repeated anywhere? I just see it in the lunar nodes. For you, actually, I'm just looking real quick here, Jen. You have a 6 life purpose number. Your Mercury is at 6 degrees. Your second house of wealth that rules, you know, the money house is ruled by Mercury. That's at 7 degrees. So I would say the number 6 is more prominent for you. 6 and 7, and then, let's see, you've got the number 4 in your destiny. I'm just checking out where else that appears. Well, you have a 13-4 literally right on your midheaven there with Mars. So I would say that transformative number 4 is very much part of your wealth code. So those are the numbers that I would choose for you. I can see why 10 is important, and it is. But in terms of the really strong numbers that are apparent on both sides and really, you know, represented, like I just described to you, those are the numbers I would choose, okay, for your wealth code in terms of just choosing dates, et cetera. All right? So let me know if you have any more on that. Again, press star 6 if you want to talk to me. I'm going to go to questions now. So let me see. This is area code 208. Hello?
Hi, Tanya. It's Rayora.
Hey, Rayora. Long time no talk. How are
you? Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah.
Well, I have kind of, well, these might be review questions for me, but probably help some others too. Is the intensity of the critical degree, is it only there at that degree, or is there a window for them as there is for other aspects and so forth?
Okay, give me an example of what you mean.
Okay, say a planet moves into 29 degrees, and then it moves off. So is that intensity felt like 2 degrees before and 2 degrees after, like other things, or is it just at the degree itself?
No, yes, that's a great, great question. I love this question. No, it's not felt. There's no two-degree window with these. They literally are numerical activations that happen only with a number.
Okay.
So that's why, in terms of transits, it's not a biggie unless it's Pluto, Neptune, right, Uranus, and they stay for a long time on a degree. But for solar arcs and definitely, you know, progression solar arcs, it's a really big deal because it's a year-long process unless it's the progressed moon. So, and even the progressed moon is a month, so it's a big deal. So, yes, it is only the number, right? So, and just a reminder to everybody that the critical degrees are 28 and 29 degrees in any sign. But then for cardinal signs, they're 0, 13, and 26. For fixed signs, they're 8 and 9, and 21 and 22. And for mutable signs, they're 4 and 17 degrees. So those are several points within the 360-degree circle where you want to make sure to pay more attention because the intensity level just goes way up when planets are either at birth on those degrees or transiting, progressing, and arcing on those degrees. Okay, so actually, Royora, the 28-29 is a window right there because it's two numbers that they pass through. Yeah. 21-22 as well for the fixed signs, 8 and 9 as well for the fixed signs. We do have a bigger window there.
I see. It is still focusing just on those that
yes.
are listed. It's not beyond
yes.
that. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, the next question, do we still pay attention to the meaning of the numbers on the solar arc chart, or do we ignore that as we do with the meaning of the aspects?
The meaning of the numbers in solar arcs, meaning the arcing planets as they are now arcing you, like if
say,
Venus...
Say the sun shows up at 10 degrees
mm-hmm.
on the solar arc chart.
That's
okay.
really important. That's really
yeah.
important.
Okay. So you would pay attention to the meaning of the number?
Yes, especially
okay.
if it triggers your numerology chart.
Okay.
So, or, and here's where it really gets interesting, in so many of my readings, what happens is there's a very important progression or arc that reflects, like meaning the sun or moon, or a ruling planet, that reflects the personal year. And so
uh-huh.
you want to really look for that's why drawing up the chart for the person before the call is so important, because you can make those correlations. But very often, like this 10-degree arcing planet, sun or you know Venus, whatever it is the same number as the personal year. And you want to always find those, because then that planet's meaning and position, both in the arcing position and in the natal chart, is very, very important, because you've established a communication numerologically between the two.
Okay.
Same goes for birth chart, if 10 is one of the important numbers. Or let's say the person's midheaven is 28-10 or, you know, 19-10 midheaven or ascendant. So those are things you want to pay attention to, because those numbers are important to them anyway, right? So it takes you deeper into the forecasting, the actual forecasting realms widen a lot more when you pay attention to those relationships numerologically. So,
alrighty.
Yeah. Does that make sense?
It sure does, yeah.
Yeah. It makes it exciting, too. It's like the layers never end. Where are they? Just don't. You know, you just like...
Oh, I see. Yes. Yes.
You know?
And that's so true of life.
Yes, absolutely.
Speaking of
yeah.
layers, can you again, I know you've touched on this before, but can you explain the significance of the progressed moon going above the horizon?
Yes. Okay. When the progressed moon has been below the horizon, which would be for about 14, 15 years, the feeling within you is you've taken more of an inner approach, like you're going within more. Your feelings are staying within you more. When the moon passes above the horizon, so it's now conjunct the seventh house cusp and moving above, you start feeling like, wow, I want to express who I am to a much greater degree to the public. So meaning you're more vulnerable publicly, more vulnerable not only, you know, on your public, your business side, but also to friends, family, clients. You share more. It just is a general feeling of an emotional vulnerability that is more visible on the outside. And so it leads to, after going within and doing all that inner work, it leads to sharing everything that you've discovered in those 14 years and bringing it out into the open and not being afraid to do that. So it's a deeper way of connecting in many ways, you know, after doing all that inner work for a long time. Is that happening for you right now?
It will be in about 6 months. But
okay.
what's going on for me right now is my progressed moon just changed signs. It's just 2 days ago moved into Virgo.
Ah, that's a
Virgo
big deal.
Virgo is a big sign for me. And
mm-hmm.
Also just a month ago, just as Leo transited and moved into, Jupiter, just as Jupiter moved into Leo in the transit charts, my progressed Jupiter moved into Pisces. So I've got some switching and changing going on. And both of these changes with both Jupiter and my progressed moon are just moving up very close on my ascendant descendant. So, and the funny thing is I'm finding it really hard to write now. It's just like it's just pulling teeth to write. And that's kind of funny because Mercury is playing around in that same area.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know. I don't get that part.
It could be, and I'm just picking this up because of there's a big Virgo influence happening anyway now, you know, in general, because we're about to go in, is that there may be a focus for you on other things first before the writing gets back into gear. So maybe paying attention to other issues regarding nutrition or health or your general environment, your work environment. I don't know what's going on in that regard for you, but that's classic Virgo or sixth house stuff. You know, Mercury, let me see here. Where is your Mercury natally? It's in the seventh house at 18 degrees in Virgo. Yeah, so Mercury does rule, you know, the sixth house naturally. So it could be related to that. Is there something there? Do you need to hire someone? Do you need to, this is also employee related. Is there something happening for you where maybe you need some help or something needs to be moved or readjusted and then the flow of communication happens again?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I figured it was something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the meantime, it's just kind of like I just can't hardly make myself right at this point. So I guess I'm just waiting for things to break loose. But
yeah.
I will look more closely.
Yeah, yeah, you can look closely. But the other thing is the writing itself may not need to be where you want to place it. I'm getting a sense that if you had the proper thing to write about, it could be written. And that could mean maybe a course or a project as opposed to a blog post. So think about that, because right now is when you want to actually be focusing on something that you want to launch because it's work-related.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that can happen, just so you know about Virgo and sixth house stuff and moon and all of this being in Virgo, is that you may want things to be more perfect than usual, and that's preventing you from just going out and being vulnerable and saying, okay, I'm just going to write. I'm just going to let it channel through me. You know, and that, so that perfection, that sense of wanting it to be perfect is eliminated when you do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's something that you sometimes do deal with, is, you know, wanting it to be just perfect, you know. So that is something.
I don't sense that's what the issue is right now on this, but
okay.
I've had that some in the past, but it's just, I don't think that's what's going on here this time.
Okay.
But
do you think there's a project?
I am mindful that is part of the energy of Virgo, that perfectionism. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, is there a project for you to look at to launch something, a live event or live stream or teleseminar or new blueprint or something like that that may get your creative juices flowing again?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Everything feels like it's being pulled back, more focus again on home relationship, the nitty-gritty of all that. And there's a part of me that's resistant to that, and yet that's so strong in my chart, I realize that that's part of why I'm here too. So That's probably part of it, you know, and that Virgo is so detailed. It's so responsibility-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt the Virgo energy coming real strong about a week ago, and I thought, oh, here we go. It wasn't even Virgo yet.
Well, yeah, but we're very close, and this new moon coming up is incredible. I mean, you're feeling it already. I know that. With the Saturn-Mars thing that I was talking about before, the responsibility that I mentioned, the being serious, getting serious, is definitely something you would have felt before others.
Yeah.
Well, just because you're a Virgo girl, but also Saturn for you is in Virgo.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's triggering a lot for you. Your ascendant is 6 degrees. That's definitely wanting to take responsibility. So, yeah, you know, remember Neptune will be at 6 degrees. And Pisces. I mean, literally Neptune is going to be sitting on your ascendant for this. I mean, it's going to be pretty crazy for you. So you're feeling it before it's happening, and I think that's really, in a nutshell, why there is, because there can be frustration and resistance when Saturn is involved. That's just the nature of Saturn. Saturn wants you to stop what you're doing, okay, and get committed and determined, and Saturn always asks you to overcome obstacles, and so there's always frustration, or usually frustration, or something irritating that you have to overcome to do that. So I think, you know, it'll pass, but it'll be particularly strong for you. So
that is my sense. This is just a phase.
It's a
period. It will pass.
Yeah.
But at the moment, I honestly, I've had the first couple of weeks of August were like a breath of fresh air for me. I really got to breathe and just relax, and everything felt wonderful. And then, like I said, I just felt it kind of intensifying over the last week, and I realized what it was.
Mm-hmm.
But yet I can't pin things exactly. Some of it's still too general yet. But I think as we move closer to this new moon, I'll get more perspective.
Yes, absolutely. That's what I'm feeling too. So, and also, you know, once we pass through it and we're into, you know, a good chunk of September, you'll feel better. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it is 17 degrees, this Saturn-Mars thing, so it's going to last a little bit. So we'll just see. I mean, this is a big lunation for you because of the Neptune sitting literally on your ascendant at 6 degrees. It's major. And
mm-hmm.
So something's going on in very deep level for you. So, yeah.
Tell me what hasn't been major in the last year, Tanya.
I can't answer that question. One question I can't answer. So.
Anyway, okay, well, I'll let you get on to your next call, but
yeah.
I just wanted to touch base with you on those issues. So I appreciate
Yeah, thank you. It's good. It's good to hear from somebody who's so tuned in, because it reminds us, too, of the energies that are taking place, you know? So I appreciate that. Yeah.
Okay.
Good. Thank
Take
you.
Care, Tanya.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye. Bye-bye. Okay, so then we have, looks like, air code 650. Hello?
Hello, Tanya. It's Jen. How are you?
I'm well. How are you doing? Did I answer your question
Good.
To your liking here?
Yeah, pretty much. I was just listening to you talking to, I feel like the same, you know, I feel like I'm in this terrible place right now, which is really very painful place right now. So I'm like, okay, this is really weird. And I was just looking because I actually have, I guess my sixth house is ruled by a Virgo. So I wonder if that's what it is. But anyway, so...
let me check here real quick.
Yeah.
What's going on with Jen? Six house. Yeah, this is very... I mean, your house cusp corresponds to the universal house cusp, right? So your ascendant is Aries, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So yes, your sixth house is ruled by the natural ruler, which is Virgo. And in the meantime, though, your sun, which is not the sun, most of Virgo is in your fifth house, but doesn't mean it's ruled by the fifth house, right? So it's a little confusing, but most of it is in the fifth house. So the fun, the lack of fun and joy that you're feeling is related to that issue. Because most of your Virgo, which is, you know, what we're talking about here, is related for you to fifth house, okay? Because that's where it's located, even though it rules the sixth house. And just looking here at your chart. Okay, so the new moon actually occurs in your fifth house at 2 degrees. That's right in your fifth house. So, and that Saturn Mars stuff is in your seventh house. So that's a mirror. The seventh house is a mirror to you, right? That when we're not in a partnership, whether we're in one or not, the seventh house mirrors everything back to us, which is first house. First and seventh house are mirrors to each other. So for you, this is, you know, it's going to be very deep in terms of, well, what is it that I'm, that what am I looking at? You know, when I look in the mirror, who am I? And what does that feel like? And it's forming this square to the, you know, to Venus in your fourth house. You know, Venus is your planetary ruler of your sun sign. And it, that's big. You know, you're not feeling so comfortable right around now. I mean, that's just how it is, you know?
Tell me about it.
Yeah, it's a square to Venus is a big deal for you because you're a Venus girl. So, and, you know, because you have a double whammy here going because Virgo rules your sixth house. So you're feeling this not only personally but also in your work, your work environment, your health, just your general daily environment is really affected. So the other thing is your seventh house is also ruled by Venus because of Libra being there. It's like a lot of your life is just feeling somewhat affected by big responsibility and becoming serious and, you know, looking at, well, what's really going on with me here? And that's not always easy, especially, I don't know if you're alone, like, do you have a partner or are you alone? If you don't have somebody, you're on your own.
Yeah,
if you're on your own and you can't bounce things off as easily, because sometimes when you have a partner, if it's a good partnership, there is a way to dissipate the energy, right? Because you can talk through it. You can instantly have somebody there. You don't have to call a friend on the phone or stall calling a friend on the phone or whatever it is. The partner will be a mirror to you. And when you don't have that, then you have to figure out, well, who am I going to bounce this off of? You know, because it's really hard to do all this on your own. You need somebody around you to really talk to, you know. So do you have somebody like that you can turn to?
Well, you know, I'm a seven, so I'm very private. It's very hard for me to share things. And I tend to be more of the person who listens, the advisor. I always find myself in that role, you know, listening to other people. So
Well, what I suggest to you is that you do reach out and see who you can talk to during this time, because, you know, when you go through frustrations like this, what can happen when you're a seven is you can internalize it so much that it eventually shows up in other places that you'd rather that it doesn't. And so instead of internalizing it now, and I know there's a ton of seven energy going around, so it's basically saying, okay, yes, take time for yourself, but please, the two energy here means please go relate this to somebody, especially somebody who you feel is more joyful, because this is fifth house stuff for you, and so you want to be talking to somebody who you know has a more easygoing, flexible, fun attitude towards life than you do right now, right? So if you know a friend like that you can turn to, that's what I recommend for you. And
Is it good to write or not? Should I write it? Is it good for me to write about it or should I talk about it?
I think writing about it is always good as long as you are in a balanced place when you're writing, meaning you are connected to, you know, the universe. You're connected to, you're aligned. So if it's only personal stuff, you know, what would I call personal crap, you don't want to put that into your public stuff. You can say, oh, I've been feeling more this lately, but then you want to work through it and you want to take people to, well, what have you done about it? So whenever you present an issue to your clients, a problem, and this is business stuff now, you want to present the solution. And so you got to move them through to the solution and then obviously ultimately make an offer to them if it's a business. In order for you to do that, naturally you have to process the information first within you and then write about it. If you're talking about writing in your journal and just to let out the feelings, absolutely, that would be fantastic. But I wouldn't make that public, that kind of stuff. So,
okay, yeah, all right. Yeah, okay, that's very helpful.
Okay, good. Well, you know, it's a big time and everybody's feeling it differently. I really want you to reach out to somebody, though, and just connect. Mm. I think it'll make you feel really good, much better. It'll put a lightness onto the experience that you're feeling as a heavy experience right now, you know. So.
Yeah, that's a good idea, to find somebody. I mean, I know plenty of people. I'm sure there's lots of people who will listen to my...
There are always going to be people who want to listen to you. And that's what sevens don't understand. They think nobody really wants to. They do, actually. They love it because you're reaching out and you're forging a connection that otherwise would not have been made. And when you're vulnerable with others, it deepens your relationship with them because you're allowing them to support you. And it's like you're reaching out, you know, and it's a good thing in any relationship to have that, right? So... I definitely recommend it. Yeah.
Yeah, no, thanks. I appreciate that.
You're welcome, Jen.
Yeah, thanks very much.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question not related to that?
I have a lot of questions.
Okay. You go ahead then, it doesn't matter.
No. I mean, is it something I can answer quickly or is it?
Yeah, it's fairly quickly. I was just going to asking about, like, in the terms of, like, with all the stuff coming up, for instance, with Saturn being at, an 8, 17, 8.
Mm-hmm.
When if somebody has Saturn as an 8, that, I guess, that makes, like, a much bigger impact.
Yeah, just like with Rayara's question earlier, where she mentioned correlations between numbers when you're doing readings for the forecasting. You always want to pay attention to those numbers activation. So, yes, if you have Saturn at 8, if you have any planet at 17 or Saturn at 8, you want to look at where that planet is and what it means in your chart. Yes, for sure. It's a very, very good question, actually.
Okay. And then just one quick other question is when there's numbers missing, you know, from the name and they show up in the chart, because I find that they're pretty predominant.
Mm-hmm.
When they're missing, is that true for them or not? Because they're missing and they seem to trigger something. You know?
Yes, anytime a number's missing from the destiny number, absolutely. When it shows up, especially in forecasting, it means more because it is literally something that that person needs to work on. And it's a lack of something that is now being asked to, you're being asked to put your focus on it. That definitely is the case. Mm-hmm.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much, Tanya.
You're welcome. All right. Well, okay, let's move on to our next caller. This is 905 area code. Hello?
Hi.
Hello?
It's Andrea May.
Hi, Andrea. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Did you hear my answer to your question?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Okay. So that was really helpful because that saves a lot of trouble trying to figure out, you know, imagine if we had to figure out for every language, that would
be yes.
crazy.
No.
Okay.
You don't. And the same goes for Asian names, by the way.
Yes,
you know,
you just read my mind. I was like, so, you know, I don't know if their birth certificates are written in Chinese or
mm-hmm.
their language or not, but if they choose to have a Western alphabetized name,
mm-hmm.
like if their parents give them one, that's the one to go with?
Yeah, even if it's the parents giving them one, which is really a good question, it's still, if they've accepted that as their name, and usually that is the case, yes, that's the name you go with.
Okay, so that's what I would use for destiny number.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes it a lot easier and a lot clearer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, basically what you're dealing with is the subconscious speaking to you, you know, when you make that decision to translate into another alphabet.
Mm-hmm.
It's a decision that was made either on your behalf or you make it yourself. So it needs to be honored in that way when dealing with numerology and charts. So what I would also look for with the destiny number is if you do their astronumerology, is see if you can locate that particular number in the astrology as well. Because
mm-hmm.
Sometimes that's a clue too. You know, if it is somewhere prominent in the astrology chart, given that you have the correct birth time, which you would need in this regard, it's another indication that the number is important. So, yeah.
Okay. So I was wondering, because I remember in level 2 you used Lance Armstrong as an example
mm-hmm.
of someone's birth time that you didn't have, and you're still able to get information from that. So what areas of the chart can I expect to be correct versus the ones that are not?
Okay, well, if you didn't do, if there's no way to know what time the person was born and you just do the 12 p.m. or 6 a.m. sunrise chart, then obviously the house positions cannot be gleaned whatsoever, nor can the moon, because the moon will have moved every 2 hours 1 degree, right?
Okay.
So so the moon would be between a certain amount of degrees during that 24-hour period of that day of birth.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the two that really would shift. The other planets that may be off by one number are the faster-moving planets like Mercury and Venus. Because if they're close to, let's say, the 55, let's say they're 1555, then they could be into 16 later in the day. You see what I mean?
Oh.
Or if you erect a chart for 12 p.m. and Mars is at 2 degrees and, you know, 10 minutes, earlier in the day, it could have been at 1 degrees, depending on how close it is to the previous day. And that's something, by the way, you can check. You can actually go to midnight on the day of birth and say, well, is Mars still at 2 degrees then? If it is, then you have the correct degree for Mars. If it's the same degree for the 24-hour period of the day that you have, then you can get the number correct, if you see what I mean.
Okay.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody's born May 1st, you want to check between midnight and midnight on May 1st to make sure that the number doesn't change for the faster-moving planets, which would be Venus and Mars, Mercury. Mars isn't that fast-moving, but it's more like Mercury and Venus that you want to check for that.
Yeah.
So, and you can't do houses. You... Obviously, the progressed moon is not possible without the time. The other planets you can progress, though. So there's certain things you can still do. You can still do the arcing for most planets, except for the moon. You can do progressions for all planets except the moon. It's still not precisely what you want because you don't have the houses, but it's at least a lot you can get done. So
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Would you mind looking at my chart to see what's going on with me with in regards to what you said at the beginning?
Okay. Hold on, because when I get asked these questions, I need to pull up stuff. Now, what is it? Tell me, first of all, what you want me to look at here so I know what to pull up.
Just in general, I'm mostly interested in my work. The love life stuff, I just kind of leave it to the side for the time being.
Mm-hmm.
It's too complicated.
Okay, let me just close out this. Let's see what's going on with you. Okay. I'm just looking at the transits, and let me do a quick progression. And okay. Let's get rid of this. Okay. So look here, reference chart. Okay. All right. You want to know about the lunations?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Your progressed moon just entered very recently your fifth house. Are you aware of that? That's a pretty big change for you.
Okay.
Okay. So it's at 19 degrees Sagittarius, and your fifth house starts at 1750 Sagittarius. So within the last month and a half, that moon crossed houses. When the moon changes houses, it's a big deal because it usually stays for about 2.5 years or so in a house. So you always want to watch for a change of sign, like we discussed with Rayora, or a change of house with the progressed moon.
Okay.
So it just moved from the fourth house to the fifth house. And that would indicate obviously fifth house issues as opposed to fourth house issues, which are more serious, related to home-related matters. Everything that fourth house represents is now done. And everything that's fifth house is related to fun, enjoyment, creativity, really moving into a part of your life that is happier, you know, joyful, and focuses on the future, everything, you know, fifth house related. So, and then, of course, Sagittarius is very much about the future as well, so which is great. So there's a real feeling of taking more risks, just being more creative, more adventurous with this placement. So that's one thing that I noticed immediately. In terms of the lunations, let's see. You have the new moon coming up on August 25th at 2 degrees, and that is in Virgo. So for you, where is your Virgo? It's in the first house, 2 degrees Virgo. It's conjunct, let's see. No, it's in the first house. So this is a new beginnings time for you. The new moon is new beginnings. It's in your first house, which is the beginning of a journey in astrology. So you will feel a restart in many ways. And this will affect your relationships as well,
mm-hmm.
Because the first house is opposite the seventh house. So you'll feel a sense of a renewal. You know, this happens every 12 months. So around this time every year, the new moon is in your first house, around your first house. Okay, the Virgo new moon. And then the full moon occurs in, let me just get my chart here. Okay, the full moon on September 9th is Pisces 16. Just find out where that is for you. That's second house and eighth house. Okay. So for you, if you've been wondering about finances and bringing in income, it's going to really start kicking off in September for you.
Oh, good.
Yeah. But you have to do the work. Remember, Saturn is asking you to take responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
So don't think that, oh, it'll just happen because it's happening in my second house and eighth house and stuff. Because that's where it's happening for you. Second and eighth house, that's fantastic, really nice. However, Saturn-Mars conjunction on the 25th of August is saying you got to really take responsibility for what you're attracting. And if you do, and if you do the work and you do the step-by-step, you know, approach here, which is what Saturn always asks, you can really bring in a spike in your income during this time. So that's good.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good thing for you.
Wow.
Right?
Because
so,
I've been
your second house is ruled by Virgo. So it's a big time for you in terms of money generation and focusing on that and getting serious about it.
Mm-hmm.
Not just playing, but really just taking, like, real steps,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah, okay. That's good to hear.
Yeah, so just, you know, get your office in order.
Yeah.
Get your daily, your work environment in order. Get everything ready. Get organized and take those steps, you know, to move forward. And this is a time for you to really also pay attention to when you don't know something to make sure you have somebody supporting you on this journey, you know, because you want to take advantage of it. I don't know your personal year or anything like that, but pay attention to your personal months. You know, September is very intense for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said yesterday during the call, it's a doubling of energy. So, yeah.
It's just interesting that you said, like, if you don't know something, just ask for somebody for support or ask them.
Mm-hmm.
And because, like, my personal shift number is 6, so that's kind of been an issue that I've dealt with a lot in the past, like not asking for help.
Yeah. Personal shift number 6 will definitely have an issue asking for help because you feel like you're the one who's supposed to give help. So
yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay.
So that Neptune at 6 degrees coming up, you're going to really want to pay attention to that. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
Okay. All right. Bye, Andrea.
Bye.
Okay. We have now.
Hi, Tanya. This is Linda.
Oh, you already, yeah. Hi, Linda. I think I was going to read who this was. Anonymous Jazzy Girl. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
How are you?
I'm doing good.
Yeah, so what's happening in Florida?
Well, tomorrow is my surgery, so I'm asking for a little bit extra pep talk. But
yes, that's right.
How long does the full moon energy last if it's not an eclipse?
Oh, it just lasts a couple weeks. It's not that long because the new moon, as soon as the new moon comes around, you've changed the energy. I mean, sometimes it lasts a month, but it's usually a couple weeks. So that Saturn-Mars thing.
Yeah. The next thing I was going to ask, because I have Saturn at 4 degrees Pisces right on my 5th house cusp. So I'm supposed to be responsible and playful at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what that means? It's also square my moon at 8 degrees. So I think you mentioned yesterday, or maybe it was in one of the post about the 4-8 in the planets degrees too, and plus we have that 17 degrees Saturn coming up to, or I guess it's now, right?
Yeah, well, it's going to be conjunct Mars at that time, right during the new moon. So let me just pull up stuff here and see what's happening with you. We need to get rid of this. And do this. Okay. All right. So you were saying about your natal Mars is at...
No, natal Saturn is at 4 degrees Pisces right on my 5th house.
Right. See that. So Pisces is basically going to conjunct your Saturn during this new moon. I see. Okay.
Yeah, the new moon, the Neptune-Saturn is going to be in opposition to the new moon on the 25th.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, well, exactly. Well, exactly. Today is the 19th, your surgery is tomorrow the 20th.
Mm-hmm.
Neptune is already there.
Mm-hmm.
Very slowly. So this
right.
is already happening. This
mm-hmm.
is not like, it's just being triggered on the 25th. I don't see how this would affect you tomorrow because the new moon is not happening till 5 days later.
Okay.
So I think in terms of picking a good day, I know we worked on that.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
That it's fine. I wouldn't worry about it. If it was right around that time, 24th, 25th, 26th, I would say, well, you know, it could be this or that. But I don't see that at all with the 20th because the sun and moon are not even anywhere close.
What does Neptune transiting Saturn work in
that? It's in your fifth house. It's a long transit.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really long transit. Like I said, if the trigger had been the new moon, because it's going to trigger it in your chart. So
mm-hmm.
what I can see happening for you, excuse me, is that, you know, you come home and you will have some real insights. I think I mentioned to this last
time. Right, right.
There's going to be some real insights for you about,
mm-hmm.
you know, so any health situation brings insights. We know that. So I think during the recovery period, you're going to, or the after period, you're going to just have some real insights on things. And it may really be in that sector of how do I feel creatively here? Because this is fifth house stuff. You know, am I really feeling like I'm expressing myself in the way that that's congruent to why I'm here? Those kinds of things may come up to you. Like you may get a new idea about something, about how to proceed with your spiritual service. How responsible are you being about that? You know, that's all Neptune-Saturn stuff right
mm-hmm.
there. And am I doing it in a way that's really enjoyable? Like,
mm-hmm.
Can I be playful and creative and really feel like it's fun for me? So those are things that you would be looking at during this time. Because is there a recuperation time for you with this surgery?
There's some time that I won't be able to drive or swim
mm-hmm.
or exercise or travel.
Mm-hmm.
All the fun stuff, right?
Yeah, exactly. Which is basically what, you know, Saturn tempering things for you in that regard. So, so that new moon will definitely activate that.
Mm-hmm.
for you, but I don't see it as a negative thing. I see it as a restructuring of your creative priorities here. And just, you know, I'm just looking where your Capricorn is in your chart.
It's intercepted in the third house.
Okay. So the way you communicate your message creatively, since it's third house,
mm-hmm.
I would look at that. Like, how are you writing? How are you imparting what your message is? And that's going to get an overhaul somehow. Mm. That's what I'm seeing. It's going to. I want it to be more fun in some ways for
mm-hmm.
you. Like, go back to, well, how did you feel when you were a child type thing? Like, what really excited you? And look at what that was and maybe write about those things or get into that space in your videos or create a product or service or a live stream event or something that is really a fun event for your prospects and clients. Right? So
mm-hmm.
that's more what I'm seeing for you in regards to this. So, but the 20th is I remember a good day.
Mm-hmm.
So
I have that Saturn square my moon in Gemini at 8 degrees. Can that aspect make you a worrywart? Because I'm worrying about everything right now.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, because emotionally you can't settle easily.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for you to, yeah, it definitely can do that. You also have a T-square going on, I mean, with Pluto and Uranus that are conjunct in your, you know, they're opposite your Saturn, right, in your chart.
Yeah, and Pluto is opposite my Sun.
And Pluto is?
Opposite my Sun at 14 degrees Cancer.
It's not opposite your Sun. Oh, you're talking about your transits. No, I'm talking about your natal chart.
Oh, okay,
In your natal chart, you have a T-square between the Moon, Saturn, and Pluto, Uranus. There's a T-square going on. So anytime, so this is for the future, Linda. Anytime something is opposing your Venus, your natal Venus, not your natal Venus, what am I saying, your natal Moon, it will create a grand square.
Okay.
So when there's an opposition to your natal Moon, that opposition to your natal Moon will square your natal Saturn and square your Pluto Uranus. And
right.
That will create a grand square. So pay attention to those moments when they happen. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
As for this new moon, yes, it will activate that T-square for you. That is definitely going to cause you to want to act in some capacity. You're going to want to make some changes here and move forward. So, as usual, the health situation will propel you to go deeper and make some changes, and that often happens. I mean, I find that all the time, you know. So, yeah, it's nothing to be concerned about, though.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, okay, there's something going on with me. Look at the actual health issue itself. What does it represent symbolically? What does that mean for me? Et cetera, et cetera. You know, you can go there. And take some time intuitively to really consider and feel those things out. Your moon wants to feel. It's in the eighth house. I mean, you've got three planets in that eighth house. That's really, really a powerful eighth house. So your moon does want to go there and feel things through. So, yeah.
Right. And a couple of months ago, you had mentioned that we were discussing something in my solar arc. Uranus is at 25 degrees Libra, just about to cross over my ascendant at 27 degrees Libra. And you said that could make a change in your living environment. Is that because my fourth house is ruled by Aquarius?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely related to that. But just in general, when Uranus does cross your ascendant in any capacity, whether it's transiting or arcing, it's life-changing. And the fact that your fourth house is ruled by Aquarius makes it, with a particular focus, not on moving, but on something shifting in your home environment. It doesn't mean, like, it could be remodeling. It could be that, I don't know if your parents are alive, but that house rules your parents. So it could be more focused on something parental in that regard. It also focuses on your subconscious childhood stuff because it's the parents, you know. So there may be things on a deeper level that come up for you during this time. That need to be looked at. Maybe somebody's going to prompt you, well, we want you to have a look at this issue or whatever it may be. Or a client prompts you to do that because this story is so similar to something you experienced as a child. So it can be related to that as well. The third house is related to your siblings if you have them. The fourth house is related to your own childhood and parents, not only your home. So it's your childhood home as well.
Okay, so you're saying that anytime transiting Uranus or solar arc Uranus crosses over anybody's ascendant, it could be life-changing. But for me, it could also be fourth house issues because Aquarius rules my fourth house.
Yes. Always look at the house that the planet rules. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Yeah. All right, well, my surgery is at 5:45 a.m. Eastern time, so if I could have a little bit of extra juju from everybody. That would be awesome.
Oh, thank you for letting us know. Absolutely. That will be something I'll do tonight before I go to sleep. So, yeah, that's wonderful. That's great. We will definitely send you some wonderful thoughts and healing thoughts tomorrow.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. All my best to you, Linda.
Great.
Let us know how it goes.
Will do.
Okay, good. Okay, so we have one more question here. This is area code 817. Hello?
Hey, Tanya, how are you? It's Angelica.
Hi, Angelica, how are you?
I'm doing fine. I was going to ask, Tanya, how does all these changes, you know, with the moon and everything going to affect me? Because evidently I went to the doctor and they think I'm going to have surgery. I'm going to need surgery on one of my breasts. So, and it looks like it's something major.
Oh, gosh. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to hear that. Wow. Okay, you just found this out? Let me just get
yes.
stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. I'm just getting – when was this? Yesterday?
I went Monday and then Tuesday. So it's been Monday and Tuesday. I went to two different doctors to come kind of like get a second opinion. So I'm going to go on the 28th. So I can get the mammograms and all the exams that I went through. They're going to go ahead and give me the results.
Okay. Let me get your chart up here. This was just in the past 2 days. Angie. Okay. Why does it say Angie? I need to check that.
Yeah.
You must have given me Angie at one point.
Yeah. A long time ago.
Angelica. Okay. Okay. May 22nd, 1964. Let me just get up. Is about here and now. Okay. All right. Yeah. Let's see. Your sixth house is also ruled by Virgo. Very similar to Linda's. Was it Linda or was it? I'm just trying to remember who we talked to. No. That wasn't Linda. That was Jen. So many charts today. But we had a very similar chart where. You know, we're about to enter Virgo. We have the Virgo new moon. It's very and the Saturn Mars conjunction is happening during the Virgo from new moon. So it's activating Virgo in a big way. So Virgo for you rules the sixth house, which is the house of health. It's not only service and work; it's health. So let me see where I'm going to get your birth chart up. And see what's going on with you in regards to Mercury. Where's Mercury? Oh, Mercury's right on your ascendant. Okay. So I'm looking for Mercury because of sixth house for you personally is Virgo, right? But sixth house for everybody in general, universally, is also ruled by Virgo. So your Mercury is literally conjunct to your ascendant. So anytime Virgo is accentuated, which it is right now, sixth house issues come up. That would be the issues I just mentioned. With you, Virgo's at 6 degrees, which is also the number of health. And, you know, it's the number of the home. So it's your actual physical home, but it's also your body home, like where your soul lives, where your soul resides. So it's in Taurus. Let me see where Venus is. Venus is in the third house of communication. Are there any issues in your life that you have not communicated clearly lately that where you feel like you need a partner or you need a friend and it hasn't been, that hasn't been happening for you? Like you've bottled stuff up, basically, a little bit.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think I always bottled everything up. I mean, when I get mad, I'm not aggressive. I don't, you know, burst out like I want to sometimes. I don't.
Yeah.
And with my husband, I think that's something I would have liked to have done, and I didn't. So, and he's gone.
Well, that's
so.
A big one. That's a big one because you were married, what, a long time, right? I mean, it wasn't.
Well, yeah, it was, well, it was for 10 years, 11 years. So
that's a long time to bottle stuff up with a partner.
I'm just so mad with the whole thing because I supported him for about a year and a half, and then when it was my time to go part time, he left, and then I ended up in the hospital, and there was no support, and I'm thinking, God, I've been there for him, and where is he, you know, when I need him?
Right. Now,
so
here's something I need to ask you about that, and hold on, I'm just getting charts up, so I'm multitasking, so let me just finish what I'm doing, and then I will ask you what I need to ask. Just looking at your numbers. Okay, so 22, 11, 2, 13, 4. Okay, and then the 6 degree Mercury. Do you have a hard time? I see 6 degree Mercury right on your ascendant. I see 9 degree Jupiter right on your ascendant. They're both conjunct your ascendant in Taurus. Taurus, more stoic, sign. So my question to you is, do you have a hard time asking others for help, like when you need help? Like, let's say...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Like anything, like little things. Like, oh, can you help me? Can you make me breakfast? I'm too busy.
I have a hard time. I don't like to bother people. That's how I feel.
You don't like to bother people. Okay, so that's a very much an indication of that number six. The second question that I have then, when they don't do what you feel they should naturally want to do, like your husband didn't step up to support you when you were ill, do you then start getting internally upset at them and not sharing that with them? But it's just you get upset and you just wish they would read your thoughts and just get on with it. And
yeah, well, in this case, I did because of the house. I'm ready to either move out or do something with the house. And I did ask him, hey, while I'm in this transition, do you want to help me with the house? So when we do sell it, I give you money. And it was absolutely no, I'm not giving you anything. And I felt I never ask him for anything. And the minute I do, he's not even open to helping me. So I feel like,
okay,
yeah.
Let me just tell you what's going on here, because what I'm finding is with your natal moon at 17 degrees in Libra in the sixth house, your emotions are very tied into your health. That's the health house right there. And your moon's at 17 degrees, so your moon's very powerful. And so when you do speak and you do ask for something, it really empowers you to do that because your feelings get expressed and then your health is supported because of that. And it's not just your health. This is the house of service and your work environment. So... And I know you are of service, and I know that's what you love to do. You are. You have utilized that moon emotionally to be of service, you know, to the world. What you may not have done just because of also our natural environment, the way we grow up for females is not to ask for help. And then you have this 6 degree Mercury, which is sort of magnifying that I need to take care of myself and nobody, I'm not going to ask anybody for help. That's magnified in a big way. It's literally on your ascendant. So it's almost like your MO is not to do it. So your natal moon is now sort of crying out and saying, look, I need to be emotionally nourished. I need nourishment. I'm not getting it. And I've never really asked for it. I've given it because it's the house of service. And this is the weird thing about the sixth house. It's the house of service, but it's also the house of health. So if you have 6 degree issues or responsibility issues where you don't nurture yourself, it shows up in your health. That's where it shows up. Okay? So what I want you to do with this, there's something I'm going to send you, by the way, just to help you out with just in terms of something alternative I want you to know about that I'll send you in an email. But what I want you to really focus on is how can I ask for what I need now from my friends and my loved ones and see what the outpouring of love, how it makes you feel inside. Because you've been holding it in, you've been carrying it. And, of course, the breasts for women are the most sensitive, you know, aside from the sexual area. the vagina, et cetera, the breasts are where we carry our feelings. It's where we nourish our babies when they're born. It's there. So when it shows up there, it means, okay, you need to nourish yourself now. So is there something you can do to reach out on that level to your loved ones and close friends and just let them, allow them to step up now, you know, in a way that is obviously something that would be wonderful for you at this moment in time. And do that, and then just to see how it makes you feel to reach out and ask for that. It's going to be a little difficult for you at first because it's not natural, right?
It's not.
It's not at all. But you know what? It's come the time where, okay, you know, this is the moment, okay? So, you know what I mean? Because when else will there be a moment than this one? I mean, you know, this is the moment for you to do it, right? It is. Yeah, it is. You just got to acknowledge that. I mean, it's even hard for you to acknowledge that, but you need to. You need to say yes. And Delica,
I know. It's even hard for me to come on the calls to really. I mean, I know you've been listening to me, but it's hard for me to be so transparent because I don't like people to know about my stuff. And yet I've been on the call with you for a long time. I mean, recently, more than ever.
Yeah.
But I've been feeling that I need to. I need to be transparent and be able to ask for help.
Yes, so, absolutely. Anyway. And you are, and you know, the way you present yourself is beautiful and perfect and gorgeous. And that's all part of the six. You know, the representation is just everything's put together and there. Mm-hmm. But on the inside, there can be a yearning for support and love. Right, that if it wasn't asked for, just won't happen. So I think for you to speak up and ask for something that now is completely natural to do will allow things to break. The dam needs to break, the emotional dam. It needs to break, and you need to really let out some feelings. And I mean, like, you know, have a good cry, watch a movie that allows you to cry. A lot of sixes, that's how they do it. They watch a movie, they cry. They think it's about the movie, but it's really about them. So, you know, that's one way to do it. Seriously, you know, grab a movie, that grab a tissue box and let yourself feel and feel and feel. And this will help cleanse out what's happening and allow your sixth house moon, which is 17 degrees, which is so beautifully positioned to empower to empower yourself first. You got to go to Angelica first, always, always. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't go to others and expect your life to be in harmony if you don't do it with Angelica. And so this is the biggest lesson, really, is, and you're also female, and you're a mom, and you're, you know, and there's so much about this that will be released. This is not about you not moving forward now. This is about you totally moving forward now. In the biggest way you can. That's what this is really about. So, like I said, I'm going to send you an email with something you should know about, and then, you know, anything else, any other question you have, just let me know. But for me, what I'm really getting is for you to feel and reach out to others now.
Yeah, and I think that's powerful because my little 4-year-old, I was crying. When was it, Tuesday? And she's like, "What's wrong?" And I was like, "It just worked too much. I didn't want to tell her what was going on." And she's like, "Pick up the phone and call your friends. Friends help each other."
Aww.
And I was like, "Oh," I just started crying even more. I was like, "Oh my God." And now you're saying this. And I'm like, "Oh my God," a 4-year-old was so intuitive and was able to tell me the same thing.
Oh my gosh. That's so powerful right there. That is really the divine speaking through that 4-year-old to you.
It was.
Yeah.
But I'll wait for that email, and thank you again, Tanya. I appreciate you.
Oh, you're welcome, Angelica. You know, this is just, it's something that you attracted in order to grow. Really, in the end, that's what it is, for you to expand your incredible soul in a bigger way, you know, and just to see it that way. Don't let it get you to a point where you feel helpless. Let it get you to a point where you say, "This is now changing in my life. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm reaching out. I'm making something happen." Obviously, this is really important moment in my life, and mm-hmm. the way I handle it will decide how it evolves, and I'm going to handle it in this way because I have a 17 moon and I'm powerful, you know, I'm moving forward with this, you know. So
yeah,
and you'll see how much love will come towards you. It'll be amazing, that experience for you.
Okay, well, that's beautiful, and I'm waiting. I'll be open to it, so.
Yes, good.
Okay.
Well,
thank you.
Lots of love, Angelica.
Thank you, well received. Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay, so we've come to the end of our call here, and it is obviously intense, as Rara said. When is it not intense? Well, there's no answer to that because it is. You know, we are just in that kind of time right now. And remember that Neptune is in Pisces, all these deep, deep subconscious issues about spirituality and how we feel in general on the most sensitive levels are being accentuated. And Neptune is at 6 degrees. This is important. Yes, it's retrograding, and in September we'll be at 5 degrees, but right now it is at 6. And so it is important to just pay attention to those numbers and be aware of how they fit in with you. And when bigger issues come up, as they do for, you know, clients and relatives and even yourself, those are moments to just say, okay, I have attracted this, but there's a reason and there's a moment for me now to really feel supported and move through it. And I have to tell you, the support right now universally is it's much stronger than I've ever seen it before in astrology. There's so much since that Cardinal Grand Cross that has been released. So if you want to grow and move forward, which I'm sure all of you do, then don't fear anything that comes up in your life. Just look at it closely, stay balanced, stay at peace, ask questions, ask for support, and move through it, because you will be able to. So having said that, have a great, great month. We will speak on the 23rd of September. That'll be right before the next new moon, it'll be actually right during it. So we'll have a fantastic call then. Enjoy your Labor Day if you're in the U.S., and we will speak soon. And look out for a very exciting launch next week. There's going to be something really fun to share with all of you. So enjoy that, and we'll speak in September. Have a lovely, lovely end of summer. Okay, bye-bye, all of you.